Hello, everybody. I am delighted to introduce you to season 5 of my podcast series. Season 5 is especially for my nonprofit friends to help you hone your fundraising pitch. I did a live training that was 8 months long every first Monday of the month, and it was super popular with my email subscribers. I had such wonderful interactions from nonprofits. And in each training, I focused in on one of 7 key elements that I think you need, my nonprofit friend, to be successful in honing your fundraising pitch. So what I'm doing now for this season 5 of the podcast is I've heavily edited the live training, and I also offer some of my own special interjections in the middle of the training to guide you and point you in the direction of even more resources, so that you in the podcast universe, in the nonprofits who attend to listen to my podcast, you can get the benefit of my training. If you're a donor that likes to listen to my podcasts, please share this with your favorite nonprofit, because this training is geared to help them raise even more money. And I'm sure as a donor, you want your nonprofits to succeed. And a couple things to note as you listen to this live training. I do interject occasionally because sometimes the video version of a live training doesn't translate that well into the podcast world. And so I interject to sort of help guide the conversation. I also have wonderful assistants that help me. And so sometimes you'll hear a voice that you don't recognize. And that is my assistant coming in to make sure that the questions that the audience are asking is coming into the flow of the training and the conversation.
I am going to talk to you about how to explain your role at the nonprofit, at your nonprofit, so that the donor, your donor, who's going to give you money, isn't confused at all about what you do. This is one of my Be Real trainings, and I'm Sybil Ackerman Munson, president of Do Your Good. So I generally want to help you unlock a donor's mind so that your cause becomes theirs. They don't just feel like they want to fund you. They feel like they need to fund you. And so that's what we're all about. Right now, today, we're digging deeply into how you talk about your role. The other months, the previous months, earlier in 2023, we dug deeply into how to talk about a success statement and a problem statement. And in the future, I'm going to talk to you about how you can dig deep into talking about your leverage, scale, collaborators, and budget. Every single month, we're digging deep into these things. So today we're talking about your role. All right. To explain your role so that your donor understands your value, first, let's do a little plug and play template fun thing here. All right. What you want to do is you want to say your organization is essential because we're good at, and then describe your expertise. Is it in media and communications? Is it in litigation? Is it in human services? You name it. So sketch that down a little bit for you guys. Think about it. Put this in. Be really clear. Okay?
And this is Sybil interjecting. I want to let you know that the plug and play template that I reference in this live training, it's on my blog. And I have the link to my blog post in the show notes of this podcast episode. Thanks a lot.
It's important that you put this in and you explain your role directly after you've explained the problem you're going to solve to succeed at the thing you want. Don't forget to do that. I'm going to talk to you about how we're going to break down a good role statement, and then I'm going to talk to you about the mistakes to avoid next. Okay? So what you want to emphasize in your role statement is you want to explain your expertise and you want to demonstrate your worth. Those are the two most important things in your role statement. Explain your expertise and demonstrate your worth. Okay? Remember, though, and I want to tell you a story about a problem that you don't want to make. And I'll talk about mistakes in general, too. But one thing you want to be really careful of is you don't want to explain your expertise and demonstrate your worth in a way that overinflates your value. I was in a recent meeting with one of my donors, and oh my gosh, it's anonymous, the donor, and I'm going to change the facts a little bit so that, you know, we preserve anonymity. But I walked in and this donor was sort of like looked at me straight deadpan in the face. And they said, "Sybil, you know, this one person that's pitching for us, we just talked with them. And they told me that they were the sole organization working on this issue. And I happen to know that they aren't, that there's so many other groups." Okay, so you don't want to overinflate your value, because that nonprofit, that leader did get money, but almost didn't because they overinflated their worth. So when you explain your expertise, explain it in the context of overall what all of the folks are working on. Now, we're going to dig more deeply in my future training about how you describe collaboration, but this is like a very important touch point also in describing your role. Really think carefully about what is your organization's specific expertise and how do you have, what is your worth within the context of the problem you're trying to solve and the success you want to reach? So here's a pro tip. Ask yourself, if your nonprofit didn't exist, what's the gap you would leave behind? What's the major thing that wouldn't happen if you weren't there? And likely it's not that the entire issue, your problem you're trying to solve would fall apart. It's probably not true. It's probably though that if you're an expert in media and communications or an expert in human services or any other piece, that part would fall apart. You need to be sure that you're clear about if you didn't exist, what's the gap that you would leave behind? Okay, so here's a fun exercise I want you all to try to do. And please put it in the chat. I'm going to be looking here. Think carefully about this, okay? What is the gap that your organization would leave behind if you were gone? Please write it down in the chat, because what we're going to do is we're going to sort of play around with this during the Q&A session, and definitely do that. So here's an actual example of a good role statement. And then I did, again, alter the facts to preserve anonymity. And as you know, I get pitched all the time. So I'm pulling these things out of real live proposals that people send me or in emails when they're trying to pitch me. Okay. So ex-staff attorney Lynn Radish is a co-lead of a larger coalition. So this is an organization, a nonprofit, that's told me about the success they want to achieve. They told me the problem they want to overcome. And now they're trying to tell me how are they actually, what's their role in this whole thing? So they're saying staff attorney Lynn Radish is a co-lead of a larger coalition. So, they do litigation. That's their specific place, that their cool role. This project reflects ex-organization sharing co-leadership for the climate local network in natural and working land sectors. So then not only do I know that their expertise is in litigation and the law, they also are co-leading a network of folks. So that is really interesting. So they're helping with the legal piece and they're helping with coordination. That tells me something right there in just those two sentences. Let's break it down a little bit more. Here, they've explained their expertise. Lynn Radish is an attorney, and then they've demonstrated their worth because not only do they know about the law, but they're helping the entire organization, this climate local network, with the legal issues, and they're co-leading it with others who have different expertise in different areas. It's not overinflating their worth. They're not walking into my world and saying Lynn Radish is doing everything, but they're saying Lynn Radish is a lawyer, which this group needs, and she's co-leading the thing with a whole bunch of other organizations. So it's really helping me understand their role in this work. All right, so we're going to talk about the mistakes to avoid. This is that story I told you about before. Mistake number one, you act like a solo practitioner. Don't do that. There is no major issue in the world where only one organization can do it all. There's nothing. Like, and think about your life. Like, you always rely on a network of people to succeed in life. And so be sure that when you're talking about your work, talk about it in the context of all of the other organizations that are doing the work as well. Okay, so another mistake to avoid. You forget to address your role altogether. This is one that's a pretty common. If you've been in my past trainings, you've heard this with all of my other pieces, the success statement, the problem statement, the role statement. It's interesting how many organizations forget to include their unique niche. Essentially, they'll talk about the big success they're trying to achieve. You'll talk about your problem you're trying to solve. And then you'll just forget to talk specifically about how your organization is solving it.
And now for an ad, but don't go away, because I have so much more to talk to you about in terms of being able to help you describe your role effectively to donors. Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune in to my podcast series September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
And then you'll fall into the trap of mistake number one, which it'll start sounding like you think you're trying. Your own organization can achieve success and solve the problem all alone. And that doesn't look that good to donors because they know you can't do it alone. You got to explain, like, why are you valuable versus others? Here's an example of what not to do. All right. And I purposely pulled this example out because I think it's a little tricky. You might read it and say, why? This looks good, Sybil. So I do want to talk about this a little bit more. All right, so let's talk about this. X nonprofit negotiated, again, the facts are slightly altered, but X nonprofit negotiated a new conservation proposal that is much improved and more viable than previous proposals. All right, so I pulled this out because I want to talk about why this is a problematic goal statement. The first thing is that in this, and I want you to maybe also write in the chat, tell me what you think. Why do you think this might be a problem? Okay, so you might say, oh, it looks good because the nonprofit negotiated this new conservation proposal. Woohoo! And it's much improved and more viable. All right, so here's the question though. What is the specific expertise of this organization? They negotiated a new conservation proposal, but like, were they in the room negotiating it? Is it because they're great at communications and media and that's how they negotiated? Are they a legal firm that helped create the leverage necessary to have the proposal that's improved? I have no idea, right? And the group didn't tell me. So it just, I don't know. I mean, and probably, and with this one, I know in it for a fact, there was about five other nonprofits also telling me that they did a great job at this conservation proposal. And they actually were better at telling me what their niche was and helping improve it. And so when this organization came in, I'm like, huh, nice that they did it, but I have no idea what their expertise is. They also didn't really talk about their worth in this rule statement, right? It's almost passive. It's sort of like it's much improved and more viable than previous proposals. But like, why? And why did they have anything to do with that? I mean, it might be more viable and much improved, but this nonprofit didn't explain it, okay? So this is a common mistake I see very often, is that you get super general and then you forget to talk about your amazing role and the gap that would happen if you weren't there, all right? But then you also sometimes will overinflate your worth the other direction, like I talked about before, without also talking about how you collaborate with others. Okay, so let's go to the next piece. Let's just review what I just talked about with the role. The top two priorities for you, when you're talking about your role, is you want to explain your expertise and you want to demonstrate your worth. So think a lot about that. And then the top two mistakes to avoid. You're a solo practitioner. You try to talk about this whole issue and make it sound like your group's doing the whole thing. There is almost no issue where that's the case, as you know. So you don't want to do that. And or you just forget to address your amazing role and your value proposition altogether.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I have so much more to talk to you about in terms of being able to help you describe your role effectively to donors. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
Janet, there would be no national organization in Haiti dedicated to music education. No national music camps, no national orchestra, very little in the way of professional development, instrument repair, workshops, and more. That is an example of a very good description of the gap. And the only thing that I'm challenging you on, Janet, is what at the after that, which is really, really well done, think about what it was, what the community, are there other organizations that you're partnering with who are, they may not create the entire musical education system, but are there folks that you're partnering with who really need you to step in, like the schools and the other systems, right? So that is critically important, because you can say, look, the schools just, they lack the ability to have this music education. We are needed for this. And then they can come in and say, yes, we're partnering with you, Janet, because that's just would be really helpful. I'm always thinking about it in a collaborative way. Okay, Rhonda, you can keep writing your gaps in here so that I can like think through this and then offer maybe some suggestions. Rhonda, minority and low-income women in our rural area would miss out on health education and financial opportunities for small business endeavors.
And this is Sybil. Let me interject here for a minute. In this Q&A section, I'm talking with my listeners who have written in the chat what I'm calling gaps. And that's because I've asked them, as a friendly reminder, I've asked them to really talk about their role, but in terms of like, if they didn't exist, what would be the gap they'd leave behind? So it's a helpful exercise to think through your role. Is, you know, what is the thing that you are pivotal in and the most important thing? And if you weren't there, the cause you're working on really wouldn't be able to succeed. So that's why I keep talking about gaps here. Just wanted to interject that.
So if I was looking at that pitch, I think in terms of the gap that you're presenting, I think I would say, oh my gosh, Rhonda, you're doing such important work. What aspects of the health education and financial opportunities are you specifically leaning into? I'd want a little more specificity, Rhonda. I think it's a really good start. And think about being a little more specific. Maybe you can even type something in, if you feel like it right now, at the bottom of the chat here, and I can look at that as we're scrolling through some of the other folks. So what specifically in health education and financial opportunities, if you feel comfortable doing that here? Okay, Tim, hello. I want you all to notice this here. What he did is he explained specifically that that he does communications. So he said news stories critiquing inappropriate fire suppression. And he also mentioned the issue. He's working on fire suppression. Okay. So Tim, good job in explaining your specific niche and the fire suppression piece. The one thing I would suggest is in your next sentence, you're probably going to want to talk about what are some of the other groups doing where you're filling in that piece. But that's good, because you notice everybody, he's talking about his specific expertise. Okay, Karen. Oh, I love this, Karen. This is a little bit different from the issue area, but this is something I want to pull out. Karen says, she's an acting creative director to a nonprofit. And this is, I remember, Karen, what you were talking about in terms of what you were doing before, where you were helping design studio here. Without my role, there'd be no brand consistency. Okay. So I really like this, because you're talking about you specifically, what you're doing within the context. And Karen, I think probably you are, perhaps working with a nonprofit here on this. So the only pushback's the wrong word, but the only advice I would have for you in this is, why is it important? So you're clear that you're a creative director and you're looking at communications around brand consistency. Why is that important for the nonprofit in terms of the the success they want to reach and the problem they want to solve. So Karen, keep mulling on that. And maybe if you feel like it, put some more substance to that part of it. What is the actual issue that you're part of there where brand consistency would be a problem? No brand consistency would be a problem if you didn't exist. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to y'all soon.